Just a heads up, the Razzball Football Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause someone to an orgasm.
It's the Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you'll prefer us. You rock the mic so hard, we should ride in the tour. We'll make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Football Podcast. I am your host, Nick Capozzi, joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Mr. J.B. Gilpin. J.B., how are you?
What's up, man? I'm good. How was your first week of fantasy games?
You know what? I'm going to tell you, this has been an interesting week for me overall. First off, if you can tell, I'm not in the studio. I'm actually in California. If you follow the Razzball Baseball Podcast, you know that I'm down at the Mustache Convention because Gray is a mini celebrity in the mustache world, so he needed someone to give him a little bit of personal security and basically carry his man purse around. So I said, great, I'll come down to California. And he spared no expense. Obviously, as the baseball readers spare no expense when they buy him a margarita for helping with the fantasy team, because they have me locked in a box and it's very hot and there's no air conditioning. So I'm having a great time in Southern California. To top it off, my fantasy teams went 0-4 last week. And you know what, here, I'm going to even top that one. I missed almost all of football because I was traveling between Toronto and California on Sunday. So you've got slightly angry / surly Nick hosting the podcast today, JB.
Yeah, well, at least you didn't see your players do bad. I'm a Panthers fan. I had to watch that atrocity of a game. But it feels good beating you in week one in our Razzball Riders League. Even though my running backs combined for 4.1 points, Michael Turner and D'Angelo Williams, still got to win.
You know, next year, when it's the next mustache convention here in Southern California, I'm nominating you to be the security / Sherpa, okay?
You know what? I'm a blonde, and some people think I'm almost a gingerish blonde. I can't grow a mustache. I'd be a failure.
No, I'm not here to grow a mustache. I mean, Gray is like a celebrity. I don't know if it's him or the mustache. But it's big news out here, so I have to keep all the mustache aficionados at arm's length from him. So,
you understand?
He doesn't like being touched.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's get to some football. What we're going to do, in case you haven't been listening, first of all, you should go to iTunes and make sure that you subscribe to this so that you get every edition of the Razzball Football Podcast, especially the ones where I'm locked in a hotel room in Southern California. But we're going to go through the games coming up this week, and what we'll do is we'll take you through each one, and we will highlight some of the interesting plays. We won't so much go back on what happened last week, because we already know that, obviously. If you do need any rankings or tiers, you can always find them at razzball.com/football. So let's start off with the first game that's happening Thursday night at 8:20 Eastern. That is the Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers. First question I have for you, Mr. JB. I really like Matt Forte, and I know that from checking the statistics, Michael Bush had a couple TDs. Do you think that there's a chance that he's going to get all the, you know, inside the 20 red zone looks? Because Forte ran really nicely last week.
You know, he did. I don't think he's going to get all those looks. We saw Forte get a touchdown from 6 yards out. You know, he slashed through the line and scored pretty easily. I don't see Michael Bush scoring, averaging a touchdown a week. You know, both his touchdowns last week were pretty fluky. One was just all penalties driving him down the field. Another was a reverse touchdown that got the ball got the ball right at the 1 yard line instead of past the pylon. So, You know, he is going to be the goal line guy when they're 1 or 2 yards out. I don't see that happening two times a game like it did last week. So I in a game where they're going to have to throw the ball to keep up with Green Bay, who I think rebounds nicely this week, I don't see him having another good impact.
So who do you like on the Green Bay Packers this week?
I like Greg Jennings to bounce back fine. I would probably still rank Jordy Nelson ahead of him. I know that a lot of people are starting to do that, and I think he's becoming a better receiver with a little more rapport. But, you know, Jennings is going to be fine. You're playing everyone on the Packers that you're going to. It was interesting to see that Cedric Benson had every carry out of the backfield for the Packers. I think he could be an interesting play here, even though he didn't put up the stats last week.
Interesting. Anyone else you like in this game?
I think Jay Cutler might be a top 10 quarterback this week, right on the edge of that fringe. He's got so many different receivers he's thrown to. I don't really like any of his receivers other than Marshall, but I think they're going to have to throw to keep up. I think Forte is going to be fine, going to be worked in the run and pass game. So you're starting your studs.
Fair enough. All right. Next game is the Kansas City Chiefs at Buffalo Bills. I got to tell you, I live in Toronto, so I have a soft spot in my heart for the Bills. Because we don't have a football team. The Toronto Argonauts do not count. And they just got lit up by the New York Jets. I don't think, obviously, the Jets are that good. But I do feel for for Buffalo, especially then Fred Jackson goes down. So that brings me to the first guy I want to talk about today, C.J. Spiller.
Yeah, what a game from Spiller. I had a couple questions on Twitter and in the comments of my last second decisions piece. If you're new to Razzball, check out my piece, Last Second Decisions. It comes out Sundays around 10, where I go through 5 guys who I like and 5 guys who I don't like that are being started too much and started too little. And got a lot of questions on there about CJ Spiller, and I picked him over a lot of other fringe guys because he has the big playability. And sure enough, he had multiple big plays, but he had a big touchdown run early. I like him a lot this week. Jackson's going to be out for probably 3 to 4 weeks. I think he's going to just tear up Kansas City.
Hey, how about a guy I own in like every league that I'm in, which is probably why I'm 0-4, Peyton Hillis. Sean Drawn, who you might not know, got a lot of late carries. Is he in the mix? And what do you forecast for Hillis, not just this week, but going forward?
You know, a lot of Drawn's carries came really late in their game with Atlanta. I was right on that one. Remember, I said Atlanta was going to blow out Kansas City in week one, and you fought me on that one a little bit. But indeed, the Falcons romped them. Drawn got a lot of those carries late. Obviously, you don't want Hillis to get hurt, and you don't want to tax Charles's bulky, you know, recovering knee too much. I think he's going to be in the mix a little bit, which just, I think more than anything, that just kills Hillis's value. You know, Charles is going to get his, and Hillis might lose a couple of touches here and there to Drawn.
What about Dexter McCluster? He got a lot of touches last week. Do you think that is going to maintain going forward?
You know, I don't really. 6 catches for 82 yards. I think it was just kind of a fluky. He was the underneath guy. Dwayne Bowe is obviously the guy there. Steve Breston, I think, is still a good receiver. I think this was just kind of a flukish week for him. He has a lot of name value because they like him so much, and he's such a, you know, quick, athletic guy. But he's kind of small, and I think this was just kind of a lucky week for him.
All right, now, I may have been wrong on that Atlanta-KC game, but I was right with Washington beating the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans. This week, the Saints did not look very good. This week, they've got Carolina. Breeze looked terrible, even though he got his points, but his completion percentage was under 50% for week one. How does he bounce back against the Panthers?
You know, surprisingly, I'm a Panthers fan. I watched virtually every play against the Buccaneers, and every side of the ball, the Panthers looked terrible except for their secondary, and their secondary was their biggest question mark from last year. So, I still think Breeze is going to get his points, but I don't see him having an uber-efficient game. I mean, you're obviously starting him. He's going to get his fantasy points, but I don't think he's going to be the top quarterback that people drafted him for. I think he's going to be a little bit of a bust this year. Just a little bit. No, I mean, just a sliver.
Wow.
I think you're going to wish that you had picked someone like, I don't know, Matt Forte or someone like, well, that isn't very good comparison. Someone like Calvin Johnson, maybe one of the position players rather than him.
I tell you what, JB, you were going to wish that you did not make that proclamation, because I got a feeling I'm going to be reminding you about Drew Brees every week this season.
We'll see, man. I think the Panthers are going to be able to limit him a little bit, and his numbers are going to sink a little bit.
All right, let's talk. Actually, before we talk about the Panthers, Lance Moore was the leading receiver. Listen, I still think Colston's going to get the touches there. I think Colston is the number one guy. But was that kind of a one-week aberration for Lance Moore, or is there a chance for him to have a bigger season than we've come to expect from him?
Yeah, you know, I kind of have a seesaw answer for you. A lot of his points came in junk time, and I understand that. But Devery Henderson got hurt in this game. I picked him as a super deep sleeper this week, or for week one, and he got hit and looked like he had some concussion syndromes, obviously had to come out of the game. And watching Colston, he just had a lot of passes go off his hands. A lot of the plays he usually makes with his height just weren't there. Breeze was giving him the ball, which makes me, maybe I shouldn't say Breeze is a bust. He was getting Colston the ball. Colston just wasn't catching it. So I think Moore's going to develop. If he can stay healthy, this might be his career year.
Huh. Got a feeling I might be reminding you about that all season too.
Well, you know, it's Lance Moore.
I'm just kidding, man.
It's not like his career year is going to just, you know, his career high is what, 700, 800 yards? For a season, you know, it's not going to... Oh, he had 928 yards in 2008.
I know, that was a race to see who could pull up his stats first.
Yeah, I know. It was one of those trivia answers that you got to answer quickly at the bar. So, yeah, he had 928, 10 touchdowns. I think he could get right at 1,000 yards and 8 or 9 touchdowns again.
All right, let's talk about your Carolina Panthers. I think everyone's saying that they look terrible. I mean, Cam still put up 300 yards. Are you concerned about Cam Newton this season? Because I hope you aren't. Or maybe, actually, because of how you feel about some of those Saints, maybe I hope you are concerned about Cam Newton.
You know, I'm not really, but I was a little lower on him coming into the season than most people. So my expectations haven't really wavered. I thought he was a late second, early third round pick, and I think he's still going to reap that kind of value. A lot of people think he was first round worthy. I didn't see that whatsoever. You know, the Panthers running game and the line, we just got no push on the Buccaneers defensive front. So, you know, obviously Cam's going to have to throw the ball because he can't run the ball. So, you know, definitely not playing D'Angelo Williams. Jonathan Stewart's coming back. But that said, I think Cam's going to rebound a little bit. He'll be a little bit more efficient. He'll have a pretty solid game here.
I don't think anyone's given due respect to Greg Schiano and some of the strategies he's implemented in his first year as Tampa Bay head coach. I'm not saying to go out and grab Tampa's defense, but I do think that there's, you know, if there's a team that, you know, there's a lot of talent on that team and they're young, I could see them, you know, possibly winning in 7, 8, maybe even 9 games this year. So,
no, I would have disagreed with you, but after seeing this first week, they looked pretty good. They're a good, scrappy team. If you don't show up, they're going to beat you.
Speaking of the Tampa Bay Bucks, they are going to play the New York Giants on Sunday. Doug Martin had a huge workload week one. Do you think that is going to repeat this year? Are we already dropping LeGarrette Blount?
Yeah, we are. Blount, I think, had 3 touches. Let me check that real quick. You know, he had just a few carries. He didn't do much with them. He had 3 carries for 8 yards and 1 catch for 2 yards. So 4 touches as compared to Doug Martin, who had 4 catches and 24 rushes. So this is Doug Martin's backfield. I don't think it's going to – I know Blount was a little hurt coming into this game. He got hurt in the preseason, but Doug Martin looked pretty good. He was consistently getting a yard or two every play. I think this is his backfield, and Blount is waiver wire.
Interesting. I don't know who has him in the podcast league, but the Raswell Writers League. But I hope they do drop him. I'll sit on him. You never know.
You know, in a 12-team league, maybe he is worth stashing if you got a deep bench. 10-team leagues, he's gone.
All right, interesting. Okay, the Bucks didn't need to pass a lot last week to beat the Panthers. I think they will pass a little bit more this week, especially against what is still arguably a fractured and injured New York Giants secondary. You like any of their receivers this week?
In my last second decisions, I said bench Vincent Jackson. You know, he only got 4 for 47, so that was a pretty good call. This week, I think he rebounds fine. Buccaneers did not have to run any deep routes. They were getting 3 or 4 yards on every single play, if not more. So they were just running these long grinding drives against the Panthers, so they didn't have to stretch the field. This week against the Giants, they are going to have to stretch the field. I see Jackson going deep. I see him getting at least 80 or 90 yards and probably a score.
Interesting. Now, I know you've been down on David Wilson all preseason, and of course he had that early fumble against the Cowboys. I just can't see Ahmad Bradshaw handling a full workload all season. What do you think? Okay, let me rephrase. There was a lot of hype about David Wilson in the preseason. It's obviously kind of gone in the other direction now. Where do you see him winding up at the end of the day?
David Wilson or Ahmad Bradshaw?
I'm curious about Wilson because I've got him in like all four of my leagues, which I lost.
Unlike Blunt, you're definitely holding on to him. He's got a ton of potential. He's a good...
Did we lose you, JB? Did you fumble there, JB?
I'm still here. You got me?
Yeah, well, you're back.
Okay, yeah. I fumbled on my second carry of the game and then just never... I thought about just...
3, 2, 1. Okay, I know all preseason you were down on David Wilson. There was a lot of hype about him. A couple carries, he fumbled. I just can't see Ahmad Bradshaw holding up for a whole season. So, A, what do you expect for Bradshaw this week against Tampa Bay? Especially how they stuffed the Carolina running game. But B, is David Wilson holding on to?
I think you definitely have to hold on to David Wilson. He's got tons of talent. Even though I'm down on him and he has the fumbling issues, I agree with you. Towards the second half of the season, he's going to get a shot, and Ahmad Bradshaw always gets hurt. So there might be a game or two in there where he really can emerge. But for right now, he's at the very bottom of your bench. I agree with you that Bradshaw is going to have a tough time holding on to his workload all year, but for right now, he's the guy. They don't want to rush Wilson into more, you know, have him have more fumbles and lose more of that confidence. So you're holding on to Wilson and hoping, but another couple weeks of only two touches and you're going to have to cut him.
All right, interesting. We'll keep an eye on that. How does Bradshaw do this week against Tampa?
I don't think quite as good as he did against the Cowboys. You know, he only averaged 4.6 yards a carry against the Cowboys, which, you know, well, I say only average. That's pretty good, but one of his plays was a 33-yard run. So I think another game averaging around 4 a carry, maybe gets a touchdown, a couple catches, flex play.
Okay, interesting. Next game up is the Cleveland Browns at Cincinnati Bengals. Trent Richardson had 19 carries for 39 yards, so he was definitely touching the ball. But Brandon Weeden looked terrible. Another tough game to start T. Rich, I think, against Cincinnati, even though that workload is appealing. What do you think about Trent Richardson versus the Bengals?
Yeah, and this was a game I couldn't watch. Not because I didn't want to, but because, you know, when Weeden and Vic combined for 8 interceptions and a game where I expected the Eagles to just trounce the Browns and they have the last second touchdown to Clay Harbor. I mean, what a fantasy disappointment that game was. I don't think you're starting Richardson at Cincinnati. He, like you said, his touches are appealing, but it's just on such a bad team, and Weeden can't stretch the field. It's going to be a ton of 8 box. I don't see how you're starting him this week.
Okay. The Benjarvis Green Ellis had a nice running game against the Ravens. Where do you rank him rest of the season?
I think he's right on fringe of the top 15. I know that's going pretty far, but you know, when you're getting 18 carries out of the backfield in a game where you lose 44-13, on top of that, no other running back had more than 3 carries. He's the lead back on a pretty good offense, and he, you know, 5.1 yards carry against Baltimore. I'm really excited for him this year. They're going to really give him a shot as the every down back. I think he's going to have a really good game here against Cleveland, and I think he's going to be a really good running back this year. He's going to give you great value if you reached for him.
I'm curious what you think about the rest of the Bengals' passing attack, specifically what we might, because you're probably not starting Andy Dalton, hopefully, unless you're in a really deep league. But what about two guys that a lot of people peg for big breakout years, A.J. Green and Jermaine Gresham?
No, I'm in a ginger-only league, and my first... So don't tell me that there's no way you're starting him. I think Andrew Hawkins really showed us a pretty good game. A.J. Green's obviously the wide receiver one there. I picked Gresham to have the second most catches for that team. You know, I might change that to Hawkins now, but that being said, I think he's worth a pickup, but you're not starting him anytime soon.
All right, listen, by the way, if I don't make it out of the heat of Southern California this week, tell my wife I love her and make sure that you leave all my fantasy teams to her. Okay, JB?
I will. She'll probably have a better shot to win against me than you did.
Yeah. All right. Baltimore Ravens at Philadelphia Eagles. Look, on the outside, if you overreact to week one, this looks like it could be a big blowout game. I'm curious, though, what you think. How is Flacco going to do against a much more talented defense than he faced last week? There's definitely a lot of talent on Philly's defense, and I do think at the end of the year, they will be a top defense for fantasy or otherwise. What do you think about Baltimore and Philly this week?
You know, it does look like on paper an overreaction day. It does seem like that this is going to be a big blowout. I do think Flacco has another nice game here. He's probably not going to be started in most leagues, but he's good to have as a backup. You're starting all your other Raven players. You know, last week you asked me Pitta over Hickson at tight end. I picked Pitta with no hesitation. He had a great game last week. So he's a guy that needs to end up on a lot of people's rosters this week through your waiver period. But Flacco's going to have a solid game. I'm not going to say he's going to hit 300 yards or three touchdowns, but, you know, 250 and two touchdowns isn't unrealistic in the least.
All right, Jeremy Maclin did pretty well, considering no one did last week for Philly. What's his status with the hip flexor?
You know, it's bothering him. He was really sore coming out of the game. He said this on Monday that, you know, it's sore. He expects to be out there next week. You know, I've been making out with Deshaun Jackson football cards since the beginning of the preseason. You know how much I like him, and it's 360 yards in the first quarter, and I'm about to go crazy. And then he just disappears last week after that. So, you know, with Maclin a little banged up, I think D-Jax has the bigger game this week. He's not. Joe Hayden was going kind of all over the place. It's not like he was shadowing only Jackson, but Cleveland's passing defense is still pretty good. Baltimore's is as well, but I think Jackson has the bigger game this week of the two Eagles receivers.
All right, and then what type of bounce back, are you expecting for Mr. Michael Vick?
Michael Vick. What a headache. I actually picked him up in my Dynasty League, and it looked like he was going to lead me to championship.
Oh, was that the Michael Vick for Andre Johnson deal you were talking about earlier?
Yeah. I kind of wish I had made that. That would have made me really thin at quarterback, too. So he's just such a head case, you know, on and off the field, technically. But I think he bounces back a little bit, but it's really hard to see him being a top, seven quarterback this year, even? I mean, is that crazy to say?
I think that is a bit crazy. I think I'll still put my eggs in his basket for the time being.
Every week you're expecting so much from him, and last year almost every other game was a disappointment. This year he's got a great matchup to start on all cylinders and four interceptions against the Browns. I don't know. We'll see.
All right, so let me tell you a quick story. Again, Sunday I flew from Toronto to Southern California, and kickoff for the NFL was somewhere while I was over the Utah desert. So when I left in the morning, concerned that I wouldn't be able to make a game time decision on Arian Foster, I decided, because I was smart enough to handcuff with Mr. Ben Tate, that I'll throw Ben Tate in because my team is pretty stacked, and this is arguably my main league. So of course I wind up losing the game with Arian Foster on the bench by 0.6 points. Am I going to worry and have to worry about those game time decisions all year? Because that's really going to affect my travel schedule.
I don't think you are at all. I think this whole thing was a big subterfuge.
Easy with the big words here.
I was actually thinking that as soon as I saw Foster got the first 10 or so touches, you know. He's fine. He got all the carries. We're going to have the same sort of conversation with Adrian Peterson and Gerhardt a little later, but I don't think you can start Tate with any confidence any week, even in a week where they're playing Jacksonville with a bad run defense in a game they should trounce them. Foster's fine, you know, 26 carries to 5 carries. There's no way that you can start Tate, and I don't think you have to worry about Foster unless some sort of another injury comes up. Real quick, RYCollins152 on Twitter asked me, how do you see Foster versus Tate today? Last thing I want to do is start Foster and get 6 carries for 40 yards and Tate mop up all day. And my response was, yeah, but if you bench Foster and he goes off, you're not going to be able to sleep at night. So maybe you should have heeded that advice too, my friend.
You know what? I would have seen the tweet, but by the time that was tweeted, I was somewhere over Western Pennsylvania. Another guy that's involved in the Houston at Jacksonville game is Maurice Jones-Drew. You know what? I didn't catch a lot of the game, but the stats, you know, for a guy who missed all the training camp, looked a lot better than, let's say, Chris Johnson's. What do you think about MJD? Is he back?
Yeah, he's back. You got to start him every week, not look at the matchups. You know, it looks a little tough on paper against Houston. He's the number one back. I don't see Rashad Jennings really cutting into his workload.
Awesome. Okay, great. By the way, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguar is also here at the Mustache Convention, so just in case you were wondering. Next game on the docket is the Arizona Cardinals at New England Patriots. Wow. Okay, so John Skelton is hurt. Kevin Cobb comes in as a replacement. Does pretty good. You can't start any of the running backs. I mean, you have to start Fitzgerald, I think. I mean, that's why I own Fitzgerald in no leagues this year. What do you think? I mean, obviously, we're going to talk about New England and their multiple weapons. But let's talk first about Arizona.
Yeah, it's like pick who might have a good game for Arizona and then pick everyone who's going to have great games for the Patriots. But I'm right with you. Larry Fitzgerald is on none of my teams. I actually had him as a keeper in my Dynasty League for a long time and traded him last year because they just have no solidity at quarterback. You have to play him. You have to and just hope that they're, you know, either if it's Cobb or if it's Skelton. Right now it's looking like Skelton might be okay. He's not ruled out, but it might be Cobb. I mean, that's going to be a decision made at the end of the week. But other than Larry Fitzgerald, there's no Cardinals you're even coming close to.
What about Stephen Ridley? I mean, obviously he had a big game. I'm not buying the fact that they're going to have a feature back. It's the Patriots. But what do you think about Stephen Ridley rest of the season?
Our first complete 180 disagree with you. The Patriots-Titans game was the game I watched the second most of this past week. Stephen Ridley looks really good. I think he is their feature back, and I think he's going to have a really good shot at being that feature back for the rest of the year. Vereen's going to be out probably next week again with the foot injury. Yeah, he hit the hole hard every single play. You know, maybe he didn't have positive yards every single play, but he was making the big plays. He was making the big runs when the hole was open. And, you know, it was really funny seeing him run versus Chris Johnson, who just looked terrible and skittish and ran outside and got negative 2 yards after negative 2 yards. So I think the Patriots really have something in Ridley. They were opening up play action for Gronkowski really well. There was one play that was a stretch and the whole defense went that way. The next play looked like a stretch to the same side and Gronkowski had 20 yards by himself. So I think they're going to try a lot of play action with him, and he's their feature back.
Talk to me about Wes Welker, because I'm starting to think I might be in for a long year in fantasy football, and I own him on a couple of teams.
I think he's going to be fine. I think this was just one of those weeks where Tom Brady found the open guy, and this week it was all the tight ends. They were open all day, and it was just really easy for him to find them. There was really no pressure on Tom Brady. Like I said, play action was opening up for him. You know, Brandon Lloyd actually had a 60-yard touchdown that was right on his hands. He was running, would have caught it in stride perfectly, but decided to start to back pedal, and it went off his fingertips. So I think Welker's the wide receiver you want, obviously. I think he's going to be fine.
Beauty. Next up is Oakland at Miami, and I'll tell you again, I know I keep harping, I'm in Southern California, but I went out last night to watch the Chargers and Raiders, and let me tell you something. When you're in a Raider bar, you're 100% rooting for the Raiders, whether you have any interest in the team or not. That was one heck of a crowd, and I mean that in a positive way. So Oakland is at Miami this week. Carson Palmer, you know what? I know on paper it looked like he had an okay game, but I mean, who's he throwing to other than Darren McFadden?
Yeah, it's anyone's guess. I know they like Rod Streeter a lot. He got the touchdown last week, but it's really anyone's guess. I didn't draft a single Oakland receiver in a single league this year just for this reason, because you're just never going to know. And I think Palmer's going to get his yards, and it's just going to be whoever's open. And I'll pick up one if someone gets hot halfway through the season, if someone's on the wire. But other than that, I wouldn't want to even worry about it.
Okay. Are you concerned that McFadden couldn't get anything on the ground yesterday?
Not really. You know, he only averaged 2.1 a carry, but he still got 13 catches for 86 yards. I mean, he is just the focal point of that offense. He's going to get his yards one way or the other. So even though it's a tough Miami defense, a tough front, I know they're not quite as good as they've always been, but, you know, they kept Foster in check to some degree. I think he's going to get his yards no matter what.
All right, good stuff. Anyone on Miami worth even mentioning?
Start Reggie Bush if you have to. Other than that.
If you have to.
Pass.
All right, here's a more interesting game. It is the Minnesota Vikings at Indianapolis Colts. Adrian Peterson, I mean, I don't know what to say. There's subterfuge there, I think, perhaps. What did you think about AP in his first game back?
Now, he looked good, and it really, really surprised me. I thought they were touting him to be a big failure in week one. I would have benched him in every league. I loved Toby Gerhart in week one. That's what I led with who you need to start for week one, and he just was terrible. Me and my friend were shooting texts back and forth, and I said, yep, he Gerharted me. So that's my new for disappointment. I actually think Gerhart's droppable unless you have him as a backup for Peterson and Johan Peterson. You know, Peterson was healthy. He told Leslie Frazier during the game that he feels great and he wanted more work, and they gave it to him. So Gerhart's useless. I think you love Peterson in this matchup.
Hey, how about my man Percy Harvin? I have him on no teams, but that was my call of the year.
I guess that should be your just make all your calls of the year of people that aren't on your teams.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, he had 100 total yards, you know, 20 on the ground, 84 receiving. Yeah, an okay start.
I don't know what school you went to, but that's 104 total yards.
You know, I learned to round down just to temper everyone's expectations through life, you know. It's top five start for him. I think he's going to be a good player this year, but a top five receiver, I just don't see it. I will say Christian Ponder did surprise me a little bit. He was a little bit better than I expected. So, yeah, that's helping you out a little bit.
Okay, just take me real quickly through Andrew Luck, not him in particular, because hopefully you're not starting him unless you have to, but his weapons. Reggie Wayne, a great game week one. He was undervalued. And also, I'm curious what you think about Kobe Fleener.
I don't think Fleener is ever going to really make it into your lineup. You know, he had all of the Colts had an interesting first game, but a lot of that was in junk time. I know he had 82 yards. I don't see that happening again. Like I said, a lot of that was in junk time. Reggie Wayne was really leading them and receiving consistently all game, obviously. You know, he's worth stashing if you want to carry a second tight end, but I don't think he's start worthy yet. Donald Brown had a solid game, even though he didn't get to get much work because they were down early so fast. 9 rushes, 48, and a touchdown. I think he has a great game here. They're going to use him in the passing game, even though he didn't get any catches week one. I think that's going to change. I like him a lot this week.
All right, 4 o'clock games. Here we go. We've been wanting to talk about this one. Washington at St. Louis. RG3 looked pretty, pretty good week one.
Yeah, he did. And that was surprising to me. I really thought the Saints were going to show up, and they just didn't show up. And RG3 just demolished them.
What do you think about RG3 rest of the season?
13 quarterback, but I would say higher than that. I know a bunch of people are in, no question, after that first week, but I don't think so.
Are you concerned with Pierre Garçon's foot injury?
You know, a little bit. Everyone that was tweeting and following the games were just going bonkers that he had 100 yards at the end of the first quarter. You know, his big long touchdown, it was kind of a busted play. RG3 kind of was falling, and then Garçon caught it, and then the safety ran into another receiver, and all of a sudden Garçon had the whole field to run. So, Yeah, I think he's going to be a solid receiver. This is a good start for him, obviously, but I don't think he's going to be a top 25 receiver this year.
All right, and what do you think about Shanahan giving the ball 28 carries to Alfred Morris? Is he the running back to start right now for the Redskins?
I mean, right now you have to. I mean, there's no one really else. I mean, Roy Helu got 2 carries and 3 catches. You know, Royster got 2 carries. You know, no one else really got the work. I just don't buy it. I mean, I do a little. If you have to start him at your flex, you can. But, you know, next week, Roy Helu is going to get 25 carries, and it's just all part of the Shanahanigans that's just always there. So, if you have to own a Washington running back and have to start one, it's obviously going to be Morris, but I'm scared. I'd be scared.
Fair enough. Next up is Dallas at Seattle. Kevin Ogletree was out of nowhere. Some people are thinking they'll have a solid year. I need to see more. I think Romo's going to find whoever's open during the game, especially against that Seattle defense. What do you think about the Dallas playmakers this week?
You know, I completely agree with you. It's just whoever's going to be open. If Seattle doesn't scheme to give Ogletree a little bit of help, he's going to have another big game. He's a consistent receiver, I think. I think he's got good hands. I don't think he's a superstar, but if they're going to show double help on Witten, Bryant, and Austin and not give it on...
Did we lose you, JB?
...but the defense schemes for him. I wouldn't want to start Ogletree. I agree with you. I want to see more, but I think he's going to have a solid year. It's all said and done.
All right. I want to say this about Russell Wilson. He did okay, sir. I think actually people... of how bad the offense is, kind of negate how Arizona's defense actually is. And I think all things considered, he did pretty good. I think he also has a tough matchup against Dallas's defense, especially with their upgrade in the cornerbacks this year. Excuse me. So I think Russell Wilson, I think, will be again this week. I still like long term. What do you think about the rest of the Seattle offense pieces?
You know, I didn't think Lynch was going to have a big game, but he was there. I think that's only going to help Wilson, having an every down back kind of pound the ball. Wilson kind of disappointed me this first week, but he had a game winning touchdown to Braylon Edwards, and Edwards couldn't hold on to it. I think I like him this week as well. I wouldn't start him, I don't think, especially in one quarterback leagues and two quarterback leagues. He's fringe, but I like him for the year. I just don't think he's going to have a huge game this week. Like you said, those corners of Dallas are pretty good.
All right, Tennessee at San Diego. I don't even want to talk about how bad Chris Johnson looked. He looked bad. I don't think he's startable. Do you disagree with that?
It's shocking for me to say this, but no. He looked terrible. He had no sort of burst into the hole. He looked scared to take contact. You know, San Diego held McFadden in check and held him to under 3 yards to carry. Bench him this week.
Interesting. Kenny Britt is back from suspension this week. He is supposed to play. Locker expects to play hurt. What's the status with Locker? And if he is healthy enough to play, what kind of targets do you see Kenny Britt getting?
You know, that was tough to watch. Like I said, I was watching the Titans-Patriots game from last week, and Locker throws one over the middle to Washington, who collapses and looked like he had a terrible concussion injury. Ended up being a leg, which was kind of odd. And then Locker tries to tackle the interceptor and hurts his non-throwing shoulder. So I think they're going to give him a shot to play and see how he's doing. Britt is just, he could be one of the best receivers in the league if he can stay healthy and stay out of trouble. But until I see that, I'm not going to trust him at all. I don't trust any of the Titans receivers. I don't even trust Jared Cook anymore, because if Britt's there, targets are going to have to go somewhere. And it's her quarterback, so I wouldn't want to start anyone involved with the Titans passing game or CJ.
Yeah, seriously. What about San Diego? Who's worth starting in that offense right now?
You know, Malcolm Floyd had a pretty decent week one. I think you got to start him again this week at a wide receiver 3, maybe even a flex if you don't have a good running back option. I would start Malcolm Floyd over Chris Johnson. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I can't start Chris Johnson right now. It's not an option.
Can you believe saying that after 1 week? Chris Johnson was first pick in a bunch of leagues.
No, because he was so bad last year that I he's on none of my 0-4 teams, but he's on none of my teams.
Yeah, he's on one of my teams because he ended up being a second round pick, and I just figured, you know, what the hell, I got to try. But Anyway, I started Malcolm Floyd. You know, Gates had an okay game. I actually lost the league. I was up by 4 points in a PPR, and Gates got enough to for me to lose. But, yeah, that's all right. But, yeah, I think Malcolm Floyd's who you want in the Chargers pass game.
All right. Next up is the last day game, New York Jets at Pittsburgh. Nice debut for Sean Green. Are we breaking up the Jets, or what's going on here?
Yeah. J-E-T-S, crushing your Bills. Womp.
They ain't my Bills. I'm sympathetic to the city of Buffalo, but they ain't my Bills.
I think everyone's sympathetic to the city of Buffalo. No, I'm just kidding with you. I'm just kidding. You know, Green had a good debut. You know, only 3.5 a carry, but when you give a guy that's a capable back in the NFL 27 carries, you know, get close to 100 yards and get a touchdown if he gets a shot, I think he's a flex play this week. I know it's a tough matchup at Pittsburgh, and a lot of people are scared to start after the past few years, but he's the lead back on an NFL team. You got to play him.
And what do you think about Stephen Hill? I mean, is that a fluke, his big game? Or, I mean, listen, obviously he has the skill. He's a work in progress as far as I'm concerned.
I'm right there with you. I'm not starting any Jets receivers. I know Santonio Holmes is there. Yeah, obviously you're not starting Holmes in virtually any league. I don't think Hill has another 2-touchdown, 89-yard game, even against Pittsburgh, where they're probably going to have to throw the ball a lot. I think it's flukish. I think he might have a decent year, but it's going to be, you know, one catch for 15 here and there, too.
All right, fair enough. The Sunday night game is Detroit at San Francisco. Matthew Stafford, I mean, salvaged by that TD at the end, but you called that you didn't like him this year.
I didn't. And, you know, my premise was a little wrong for week one. I thought that Detroit was going to get a comfortable lead and St. Louis wouldn't be able to keep up. But, man, Stafford looked terrible, got picked sixth, you know, three interceptions that all weren't really that close. You know, Stafford is going to be a tough play this week at the 49ers. I guess you have to play him because of where you drafted him. You probably don't have a great backup, but I wouldn't be expecting much from him this week.
All right. Anyone on the San Francisco side that you're looking at starting other than Frank Gore, obviously?
You know, I picked Manningham as a interesting play last week. The 49ers had a pretty comfortable league lead, and they didn't really need to use him. You know, Randy Moss with the touchdown, 4 for 47, playing Detroit, where they'll probably have to keep throwing the ball. I think you might be starting them.
Interesting. All right, and the last game of the week might be the biggest shootout. It is the Denver Broncos with what looks to be a very healthy Peyton Manning at the Atlanta Falcons with what looks to be the opened-up offense they've been claiming they were going to put in for quite a few years. Manning looked really good. Let's talk about him first.
You know, he did look really good. I mean, anytime you're throwing the ball only 26 times and you're putting up 253 yards, a 73% completion rate, he looked really, really solid. That offense looked really solid. You know, Willis McGahee didn't put up the numbers, but he just had enough relief on the passing game to where the Steelers couldn't blitz Peyton Manning and, you know, couldn't stack the line and had to trust or had they couldn't just fall for, you know, they had to bite at play action here and there. I think Manning's going to be a solid quarterback this year. He actually really surprised me with how good he looked. Tammy looked really good. Both receivers looked really good. I think this is going to be a great game to watch. I'm really excited for this one.
Where does Tammy, if at all, move up in your personal rankings?
I had him pretty high. I don't think he's moved up any yet. I had him maybe at 7 or 8, and I think that's about where he is.
Wow, that's really high.
Yeah. I think he was right after Tony Gonzalez around there for me. So,
all right, fair enough. What about McGahee? Did not look great week one. I'm less concerned about McGahee, but who would likely see the carries if it's not McGahee? I mean, is Lance Ball worth stashing?
Nah, I'd rather have Moreno over Ball. I mean, I know Moreno's just the ghost of someone who a lot of people thought would be good 3 years ago, no Sean Moreno. He actually got some work. I think he's the backup for now.
All right, fair enough. Let's talk quickly. Talk about breaking up a team. Let's talk about breaking up the Atlanta Falcons. Holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's weird because their running game was just so bad. And usually when their running game is bad, Matt Ryan hadn't really found that much success. But now that team is open. Julio Jones, what a start for everyone that picked him. I thought he was going maybe a little too high, but so great start for him. Yeah, yeah, but you can't really dispute the tape he had for 6 for 108 and 2 touchdowns. And you know, it was a blowout game for the Falcons, too, so they didn't need to put up all the yards that they did. They got them all early and just really put this one away. I think you just, if you're going against Julio Jones, Roddy White, Matt Ryan on the team, you're just hoping something weird happens, like there's a power outage, because not much to stop.
All right, good stuff. Well, listen, we survived my first remote podcast. I'll be back in Toronto on Tuesday, so everything will be back to normal in the universe. Thanks for listening again. You can always follow us at Nick Capozzi, NickCapozzi, and at JB Gilpin, GILPIN. JB, let's watch some football this Sunday and discuss on Tuesday.
Yeah, man. Look forward to it. We'll see how the Bills do.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
That kick-ass Razzball Football Podcast theme song you're rocking to right now, that's by Symphony of Nine featuring Juice Jones. We'd also like to thank the staff at Glenmore Records for helping us put this together. If you need quality audio recording done in the city of Toronto, check out glenmorerecords.com.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
Every little muscle man.
It's the Razzball Podcast.
Make some regular good fans.
It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.